It has long been tradition here at Highlands United Methodist Church to use movies as the inspiration for a summer sermon series. I love this. I mean, I love it, and I appreciate that it was already a common practice when I arrived. I'm a firm believer that there is a deeper meaning in everything in life. Movies are no exception. If we look at anything closely enough, an experience, a story, a song, a relationship, a flower, we can find something of great meaning in it. Something that can help us understand the world, ourselves, something can even help us understand God better. You see, I believe God is at work inspiring us to find such meaning in life. This summer we'll be inspired to find meaning in movies like Annie, Casablanca, Selma, The Theory of Everything. As I mentioned, we will watch Selma together on a Thursday night. We have a guest preacher coming that I cannot wait to hear with you. Today, we start this series with the movie Annie. Now, a new updated version of Annie came out last year, produced by Will Smith. It's set in the urban boroughs of New York, and for the first time in that little orphan's history, it features a person of color in the title role of Annie. The essence of the story is the same, so if you're only familiar with the little red-haired girl version of the film or the comic strip, we're really working from the same place here. Annie is an orphan. In this version, she's in a sorry excuse for a foster home instead of an orphanage, like in the original. But she and the other girls are still just as neglected, unappreciated, and mistreated. Quite uncertain if they ever will have a place to call a forever home. Throughout the film, she'll be plucked out of this horrible situation by a rich bachelor who, in this version, played by Jamie Foxx nonetheless, is a media mogul, cell phone company tycoon who's running for mayor. And through happenstance, he bumps into Annie and his poll numbers immediately go up. So his political advisors are like, you should bring her over for dinner. You know, she should hang out with you for a while. She softens your image. You might actually get elected. At one point, I think they even want her to hold a puppy while standing next to him simply to help out with the process. Now, by the time the story comes to an end, she has taught him about life, and he decides he's ready to open his home to her, and more importantly, his heart, finally realizing what's important in life. Now, along the way, the evil foster mother and the slimy campaign manager, they conspire to take Annie away by hiring actors to pretend to be her biological parents. Now, in the older film, they dig out this old locket to gain her trust and try to prove that they're the parents. In this film, the locket gains one more clue about her parents. When Annie was dropped off as a baby, her parents left the locket with her and also a little note. This is our baby Annie. Please take care of her. We'll be back someday. You see, her parents had had dinner at a restaurant, and they ended up leaving the note explaining they would be back for her on the back of the receipt from where they had dinner. Annie knows this because she never lets the note go, and she reads it out loud almost every single night. It was from an Italian restaurant named Domani. She even knows what they ordered. In fact, Annie has never given up hope that her parents would come back for her. And so she spends at least one night every single week, the same night of the week they had dinner, sitting outside on cannoli night, because that's what they ordered, and they might come back for cannoli again, even though they haven't come back for her. And so she sits outside on the curb every single week, just staring across the street, that restaurant named Domani. Each and every week, as long as she's been able, Annie sits on the curb, waiting and watching to see if her parents will return to Domani. Each and every week for years, her life is on hold. In fact, she even risks getting in trouble and losing other relationships and all sorts of problems. She risks all of that simply so she can be there to just stare at Domani. And this is a pivotal part of the movie that leads us to a bit of deeper meaning for ourselves. Her choice to put life on hold while she stares at Domani carries a very deep meaning. In fact, it makes us confront the most dangerous word in Christianity. Now, I hope that phrase catches your attention. I mean, there are a lot of uncomfortable words in Christianity. There are a lot of problematic words in Christianity. There are even words in the Christian hymnal I like to change a little bit when I sing them so I feel more comfortable. There are some dangerous words in Christianity. But there is one word that surpasses them all. The most dangerous word in all of Christianity. It's a word that has troubled, vexed, and haunted Christianity and Christians since our very beginning. And in fact, it's what little Annie spends every single one of those nights staring at. Domani is Italian for tomorrow. It's a clever little piece of trivia woven in by the writers. In this updated version of Annie, tomorrow isn't just a smash song talking about the sun. Tomorrow is what Annie is willing to put her life on hold for. Tomorrow is what she can only see from a distance. Tomorrow is controlled by her past and keeping her from her present. Annie's entire sense of self and identity hang on what happens in tomorrow. And for those very same reasons, not just for Annie, but for those very same reasons, tomorrow is the most dangerous word in Christianity. Whether people asking when Jesus would return, people asking when life will get better for them, or when people are asking, when will God transform the world into that kingdom Jesus promised? The answer to these questions and so many more has been the same since Jesus ascended into heaven. Tomorrow? Tomorrow. Tomorrow? Yes, 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 tomorrow. Always depending on the conviction of the person saying it. This longing, this waiting, it's captured in the Epistle of James, a book in the New Testament written as early as any of the others we have. Here's James' encouragement to the Christian community. Therefore, brothers and sisters, you must be patient as you wait for the coming of the Lord. Consider the farmer who waits patiently for the coming of the rain in the fall and spring, looking forward to the precious fruit of the earth. You must also wait patiently. Strengthen your resolve because the coming of the Lord is near. Don't complain. Don't complain. Look, the judge is standing at the door. Brothers and sisters, take the prophets who spoke in the name of the Lord as an example of the patient resolve and steadfastness you are called to. Look at how we honor those who have practiced endurance. You've heard of the endurance of Job, and you have seen what the Lord has accomplished, for the Lord is full of compassion and mercy. You must be patient as you wait for the coming of the Lord, the author says, because there's nothing else to do except be patient. See, that was the very real problem for the early church. Their waiting was literal. So often in the church, we talk about waiting as some sort of philosophical, metaphorical kind of thing. Oh, waiting. Yes, we're waiting. No, this was waiting. Like they sat around watching the sundial waiting. Early Christians believed that Jesus would return in their lifetime. I mean, he's at the door. He's right there. It's one of the reasons our Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, and even the ones that didn't make it into the big book, the stories of Jesus' life, they weren't written down, most of them, until some 50-plus years after Jesus' death. Because no one thought they'd need to write the story down since they'd still be there. They all knew it. I mean, why would we be gone? He's coming tomorrow, right? Many in the early church chose celibacy, since there would be no need for an heir for their estate. They'd all still be alive, right? So, you know, Jesus is coming back tomorrow. So we can give that up for a day. Others quit tending to needs of daily life and business. I mean, they just let things go because he'll be here tomorrow, so I'm just going to wait. You know, he was coming back tomorrow. But even once that first generation of Christians died, the hope of tomorrow did not go away. When will the world know justice? When will the world know peace? When will we finally be able to feed the hungry and heal the sick? When will we be able to bring back relationship to those who feel forgotten? Well, tomorrow. It has to be tomorrow because it isn't today. It can't be today, can it? Because if it is, this is it. See, that's why we need tomorrow. Life is dangerous without tomorrow, because tomorrow is hope. For far too many people in this world, the only way we can get through the difficulties and disappointments of today is the promise of tomorrow. It's when the problems might go away. It's when healing might happen or promises might be fulfilled. It isn't just hope of Jesus on a cloud in New Jerusalem. Tomorrow is the promise of the world being right with God's vision. You know, everything that comes along with it, justice and mercy and righteousness and love. Life is dangerous without a tomorrow, because tomorrow is hope. You can hear it in the lyrics of Annie's song. Tomorrow, tomorrow, I love ya, tomorrow. You're only a day away. Well, the hope of those lyrics depends on which version you hear. The original lyrics are, you're always a day away, which kind of feels unreachable. And that's the shadow side of tomorrow. That's the danger. When tomorrow feels unreachable, always out there, never present. When tomorrow is always a day away, we can find ourselves feeling orphaned. Much like Annie, we end up sitting on a proverbial curb with our lives on hold, staring at a tomorrow in the distance. The greatest danger of tomorrow is that we risk today. It can happen when we're the ones in need. It can happen when others are in need. It happens to individuals. It happens to institutions. It happens to people new in this world and people who are well experienced. The greatest danger of tomorrow is that we risk today. Within Christianity, this takes on a little bit of extra danger when we consider God's kingdom. If we believe God's kingdom is coming tomorrow, will we create it today? In the Gospel of Mark, Jesus preaches his first sermon in very simple words. They are words that he felt should be his first impression, words that he used to define his ministry. They are words that I go back to very regularly, and many of you have heard me preach on these words before. I'm not the only preacher that loves Jesus' first sermon. In fact, John Wesley, the founder of Methodism, preached on the scripture in Mark 191 times between 1742 and 1790. He always went back to that when in doubt. So what are these words? The words Jesus wanted to be his first impression that John Wesley and so many other preachers, including myself, love so well. Hear these words from the Gospel of Mark. Now is the time. Here comes God's kingdom. Change your hearts and lives and trust this good news. Now is the time. Here it comes. Though he had great faith and hope in tomorrow, Jesus found meaning and promise in today. And that's what we are in danger of losing. That's why tomorrow is the most dangerous word in Christianity, because tomorrow can take us away from today. And today carries so much. In our scripture today, James tells the people to be patient for tomorrow like a farmer. I don't know what farmers James was around, but the patient farmers that I know are constantly working every day to bring forth what they plant. They are tilling soil, fertilizing, nurturing, sprinkling, watching the skies, reading almanacs, and when in doubt, building aqueducts while they're patiently waiting for the rain to fall. While there is hope for tomorrow, there is work for today. Because the kingdom of God is not waiting for tomorrow. The kingdom of God hasn't been waiting for tomorrow since the day before it showed up. God's love, God's kingdom, the opportunity to live as God desires and receive the blessings of God's grace are not a someday or tomorrow promise. They are realities at hand, for now is the time. Here comes God's kingdom. Listen, if the hope of tomorrow can get you through today, then yes, it's only a day away. But if you're waiting for tomorrow with life on hold, missing the present moment, letting the past leave you on a curb, staring into a tomorrow that will always be a day away, today is the day. Today. Amen.